What's going on, guys? Dare here with Fantasy Football Advice, coming at you with another Fantasy Football video. Today, we got a good one for you guys. We're going over some late round receivers that we absolutely love. Over the past month or so, we've discussed players to be targeting in the early rounds, middle rounds, and now it's about time we start to talk about those players that are going pretty late in drafts. Each and every season, we have wide receivers that are being drafted in the double digit rounds that end up making major impacts for our fantasy teams. Typically, we're targeting those younger players, players that haven't yet broken out, and although there may be several rookies coming out of the draft that we may see as great late round targets, we are not going to include any of them in this video because of course we don't know where their landing spot is. We will be able to follow up on that in later videos, but for now we're going to be going over three of our top late round wide receiver targets. Before we do get into exactly who those players are, just a quick shout out and reminder that there is currently a deal to get 15% off of our draft packages. All you have to do to lock in your discount is use code FFA at checkout. Just be aware that this is a limited time offer, only valid through the end of the month. With that being said though, let's hop over to our stat of the day. Yesterday's stat of the day was which quarterback in 2020 led in the area of pick sixes. The correct answer was actually Matthew Stafford. Congratulations to @sportsballdude, who was the first to get this right on Twitter. And as for YouTube, a familiar name, Jacob Massoff. Congratulations to both of you, but we'll move over to today's stat of the day. Among all wide receivers to finish the season with zero receiving touchdowns, which wideout finished with the most targets, receptions, and receiving yards? If you know who that player is, leave your answer in the comment section down below. We'll be happy to let you know who wins in tomorrow's video. Without further ado though, let's get right into our top late round wide receiver targets. We will of course begin with the player we have on the thumbnail. No surprise here, we have Darnell Mooney of the Chicago Bears. When it comes to players that we're targeting in these later rounds, these double digit rounds, we have to make sure that we're targeting players that have the type of upside to potentially be starters, but on the flip side, we really could care less about their floor. A common theme that you'll notice with players that we do have listed as targets in our draft package is that each of those players, you could potentially make a case for them finishing top 30 at their position. By the time we actually reach these later rounds, these double digit rounds, we should have already locked in several running backs and wide receivers that we should have locked in to be our every week starters. You will of course still have one to two players that are going to be on the cusp for you to potentially decide on your flex spot, but when it comes to these later guys, these players that are going to be drafted to sit on the bench and develop, having a player that has a very low floor but just plenty of upside is going to be exactly what you're looking for. You can run into problems, especially in the early part of the season, if you're drafting players in the later rounds that have more of a safe floor. The types of players that are putting up just enough production for you to potentially question if they should be put in over some of your starters. Starters that have already proved through your pre-draft research process to deserve that spot to start as your wide receiver 2 or 3. A common theme that I see happening each and every year is that some players that may start off slow that truly will finish in that wide receiver 2-3 range, they may get off to a pretty slow start, have a bust game or two in the first few weeks. Meanwhile, you're seeing some of these higher floor players that are on your bench consistently putting up mediocre production. And as a result, I see people making hasty decisions to put in some of these bench players in over their starters just due to having a fluky start. One thing we always want to avoid in fantasy football is chasing fantasy points, and when it comes to these higher floor late round targets, they oftentimes don't have enough juice to really break into the top 20 at their position. Meanwhile, they really put you in a tough spot in making the correct start sit decisions. For those reasons, ideally we like to target players that have very low floors but do bring in a ton of upside. Darnell Mooney, undeniably a player that does fit that bill, but he's also the kind of guy I could see having some early season success. Mooney himself, despite being a rookie in 2020, really carved himself out a role in the Chicago Bears offense. He finished the season just under 100 targets, coming in with 98, converting that into 61 receptions, 631 receiving yards to go along with 4 touchdowns. Well, no, his production wasn't good enough to warrant anything more than a desperate spot start throughout the 2020 season. We also have to understand he was a rookie, and while our expectations for rookies as a whole are increasing each and every year, we also have to give him credit for exceeding all of our expectations, playing on a team for the Chicago Bears, one that has a quarterback dilemma, a team with an offensive identity crisis, and coming into the season, it was an uphill battle for him to climb the depth chart. initially when Mooney was drafted, he was expected to fill that Taylor Gabriel gadget type role. This is, of course, a wide receiver at just 5'10", 176 pounds. He did clock in with a 4.38 40-yard dash, which is in the 95th percentile. But at the same time, if you were to tell me that Darnell Mooney was able to garner nearly 100 targets in a season with both Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson on the field, it would be pretty difficult to buy in. Ultimately, though, Mooney did prove all of us wrong, establishing himself in this offense, ultimately finishing second on the team in target market share. And heading into 2021, with most of the offensive pieces returning, I definitely see Darnell Mooney not only retaining his role as second on the team in targets, but I would not be surprised whatsoever to see his role continue to expand. Believe it or not, in 2020, Darnell Mooney finished 11th in the area of deep targets. And while no, the quality of the targets that Darnell Mooney received throughout the 2020 season wasn't all that high, one could definitely make an argument that the transition from Mitchell Trubisky to Andy Dalton could end up being a positive one. I mentioned that the quality of targets weren't really that high for Darnell Mooney. Well, to be more specific, only 73 of his total 98 targets were even deemed catchable. So when we're looking at Darnell Mooney and his true catch rate, he performed even better than a lot of people recognize. Coming out of college, he drew heavy criticism in the area of drop passes, something that we really didn't see plague him in the 2020 season. Ultimately, he did finish with 2 drop passes on the season, which is well within the acceptable range for wide receivers. Heading into the 2021 season, an area I definitely see expanding for him is the amount of targets he's going to receive in the short and intermediate passing game. While they will have players back like Tariq Cohen, who will certainly be on the field to take away some of these short targets, when it comes to wide receivers outside of Allen Robinson, I definitely see many more plays drawn up for Darnell Mooney. The reason I say that, though, is because Darnell Mooney, heading out of college and heading into his first year as an NFL pro, was coming into the league with one of the best contested catch rates. Having a strength in that area means he's definitely a player that the team can rely on third downs. So if he's able to expand his role, one that's already been proven to have success in the area of his deep targets, if he's able to expand his role further and combine what he was already successful with in 2020 with one of his strengths that we knew he had coming out of college, then quite possibly the sky's the limit with the potential for Darnell Mooney for the 2021 season. All right, guys, we're moving into the next player, which is a player I have brought up in previous videos, but due to the fact that he is going much later than I had expected, coupled with the major update we have on his quarterback situation, there is no better time to bring up Michael Pittman of the Indianapolis Colts. Like I had mentioned, it's always a surprise to me to look for Michael Pittman in current ADP and see where he lands. Believe it or not, looking at ADP, he can currently be drafted for the small price of the 128th player off the board. For me, that's an extremely low-risk investment for a player that could even begin the season with top 30 upside. Me personally, I was high on Michael Pittman before we even knew what the quarterback situation was going to look like for the Indianapolis Colts. At that point, we had known that Philip Rivers was going to be retiring, leaving potentially Jacoby Brissett to be the starting quarterback or maybe a young rookie that they took out of the draft. Neither of those options ended up holding true because, as we know, Carson Wentz, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles, is now going to be the starter for Indy. We'll touch a bit more on how I believe the quarterback situation will impact him, but for now, let's talk a bit more about Michael Pittman as a player. For starters, this is a big-bodied player. We're talking 6'4", 223 pounds. A player you can easily see with a frame like that is going to be a threat in the red zone. Now, typically when it comes to players with exceptional size like Michael Pittman has, that is usually at the expense of speed. And while Michael Pittman isn't going to run the fastest 40, in fact, he was last clocked at a 4.52. When you're talking about his height adjusted speed score, this is a player in the 93rd percentile. In fact, one thing to note was that his lone touchdown in the 2020 season actually came from about 50 yards out. Michael Pittman had a short dump off pass in the middle of the field about 10 yards out from the line of scrimmage and took the ball, ran past multiple defenders, ultimately scoring a touchdown, running about 45 yards in the process. That play alone is a clear indicator that if he's in the right situation, he can have breakaway speed, have these big plays ultimately resulting in a touchdown. So this isn't going to be a player that's going to be limited for just his red zone production. Don't get me wrong, though, I definitely see him having a major role when it comes to the red zone. In 2020, we saw a lot of plays drawn up for the running backs in the receiving game at this area of the field, also the tight ends, but I think a lot of that did tie in with the fact that Phillip Rivers was the quarterback for Indy. As we know, Phillip Rivers throughout his entire career had heavily utilized the tight end position in that area, and with Phillip Rivers now retired and Carson Wentz now the quarterback, a quarterback who has historically been efficient in that area of the field, I could certainly see Michael Pittman with the most to gain from that transition. While it is true, Carson Wentz is no stranger to targeting tight ends as well. Zach Ertz, of course, having some of his most successful seasons. But we've also seen Carson Wentz have major success with big-bodied possession receivers like Alshon Jeffrey. No argument really needs to be made on what Michael Pittman's role will be for this offense as the possession receiver. We've already discussed the size, 6'4", 223 pounds. This is a good time to mention that he's in the 89th percentile when it comes to catch radius. But when it came to what Pittman's involvement was for 2020, 46 of his 61 total targets in the 2020 season came within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. If that doesn't scream possession receiver, I don't know what does. Also, the fact that out of any Colts receiver in 2020, Michael Pittman as a rookie played on the most snaps of any Colts receiver, and when it comes to the area of potentially competition for taking away some of those snaps or targets, the team did nothing to bring in any more receiving weapons in free agency. In fact, they only re-signed T.Y. Hilton, a player who we're already well aware of what his role is. The only true question on how successful Michael Pittman will be for 2021 comes down to how much you believe in Carson Wentz. If we see the same Carson Wentz that we saw last season in Philadelphia, then Michael Pittman doesn't have any chance to hit his ceiling. But regardless, just due to his role in the offense, he still should have a pretty safe floor. Looking back at Carson Wentz in the 2020 season, he threw the ball about 437 times. Those 437 pass attempts translated into 251 completions for a mere 2,620 passing yards, with a pitiful 16-15 TD to interception ratio. That is a massive drop off from what we've seen from him in years past. In fact, looking at a comparable season back in 2017, where he had just three more pass attempts on the year, those 440 attempts translated into 3,296 receiving yards with a TD to interception ratio of 33-7. A mere three pass attempts separating both of those two seasons, but a massive difference with over 670 more passing yards and 17 more touchdowns with eight less interceptions. If Carson Wentz is able to bounce back even to somewhere near the middle of both of those seasons, we could definitely see Michael Pittman in line for an Alshon Jeffrey type role, a role that didn't come with a massive amount of volume, just 120 targets, a season in which Alshon finished with 789 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns, with Michael Pittman being a player that had proved in his rookie season to be targeted on the shorter routes within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. I could certainly see Michael Pittman having a very similar season, resulting in modest yardage totals with potentially high touchdowns. And with the investment of Michael Pittman being outside of the top 120 in fantasy drafts, the amount of risk that you're having to take on to obtain Michael Pittman is going to be far outweighed by his potential upside. Alright guys, we're moving on to the next player that we love targeting in the later rounds, and it's possibly my favorite that we have on this list altogether, and that's Gabriel Davis of the Buffalo Bills. When it comes to Gabriel Davis, right now he's being drafted outside of the top 170, which to me completely blows my mind, but I definitely see him being the type of player to rise as we inch closer to drafts. One of the biggest things that we saw take place in the 2020 season was the massive step forward that Josh Allen took from 2019 to 2020 from a passing standpoint. Josh Allen went from a career high 3,089 passing yards with a TD to interception ratio of 20-9 to an incredible 4,544 passing yards with a 37-10 TD to INT ratio. While much of that can be chalked up to his natural development as a quarterback, I believe a fair share of that development has to go on the back of the level of talent of the receivers on that roster. Having the addition of both Cole Beasley, John Brown, and Stephon Diggs, of course, Josh Allen in 2020 was no short of receiving weapons. Heading into the 2021 season, this team did lose both Cole Beasley as well as John Brown. Also, the team in free agency did go after after and sign Emmanuel Sanders, but no matter how you look at it, it's a clear indicator that the role for Gabriel Davis is going to increase. Many people were quick to wonder why they would let go of John Brown to sign Emmanuel Sanders. If you're looking at overall talent and potential upside in both of those players 1-2-1, you definitely have to err on the side of John Brown. So if the Buffalo Bills and their expectations for Emmanuel Sanders were to just step in and immediately fill that John Brown role, then no, you're right, those transactions would really make no sense. Now on the flip side, if you were to look at it the way I do, I see an expanded role for Gabriel Davis taking up a lot of that outside work. Gabriel Davis, a player despite running a 4.5 4.40, definitely on the slower side for wide receivers, especially ones playing on the outside. But we cannot forget, Gabriel Davis was 7th in the league in average target distance, 7th in yards per reception. So although on paper his 40-yard dash time was on the slower side, this was a player who played much faster on the field. Davis, throughout the entire season, did gain the trust of not only Josh Allen, but the coaching staff, allowing them to make these types of transactions, moving away from some of those veterans. And this trust was not gained by just a few plays. This was throughout an entire season of success. Numerous times you saw Gabriel Davis not only making flashy touchdown plays, but we're talking numerous toe tap sideline receptions, great body control. And if you go back and look where a lot of the production for Gabriel Davis actually came from, many of his best plays came from when the plays broke down, Josh Allen was scrambling, and he had to rely on the receivers that could get open. Gabriel Davis, he's a receiver that can get separation. When plays break down, he finds a way to get open, finds himself available for Josh Allen. And if you go back and look at a lot of the receptions for Gabriel Davis, he was consistently looked at as an outlet in this offense. Not only that though, Gabriel Davis has the physical tools to produce in all areas for this team. He has the prototypical size you want, 6'2", 216 pounds. He has already proven to have enough speed to not only gain separation, but his route running is crisp enough to get open in short and intermediate routes. And although it may be a bit egregious to make this comparison, but he reminds me a lot of a young Chris Godwin. Believe it or not, in this very talented rookie wide receiver class of 2020, Gabriel Davis quietly finished 2nd in the league amongst all rookies in red zone targets. And even comparing him to all players across the NFL, this was still a guy who ranked 15th in production premium, 11th in fantasy points per target. So whenever the Buffalo Bills did throw the ball in his direction, Gabriel Davis, he made the most of it. One thing we must also keep in mind is that this is a team that was 13th in passing plays per game. They didn't sign any big free agent running back to potentially bolster up the running back position, meaning the projected amount of pass plays for the 2021 season should remain similar, with the potential to even increase. And with Stephon Diggs proving as a Buffalo Bill in his first season to be one of the most dynamic wide receiver threats in the entire league, you best believe that many defenses are going to be planning to do whatever they can to take Stephon Diggs out of the game, or at least limit him. And you better believe any defenses that sell out in order to stop Diggs are likely to regret it, because Gabriel Davis will be there to produce. That's also not to mention any potential upside Gabriel Davis could have if Stephon Diggs were to go down with an injury. No stranger to injuries himself. So for me, I'm completely baffled as to why he's being drafted outside of the top 150. And as far as we're concerned, Gabriel Davis is not only a value and a great sleeper, but he makes one of the best late round targets for the 2021 season. But guys, that's gonna do it for this video. We really hoped you enjoyed. If you did, how about hitting that like button? If you're new to the channel, please hit that subscribe button. We thank you all for watching, and we'll catch you on the next one.